Blessed and so happy to be here this morning. Obviously, I'm here every week, but this is such a blessing and an honor to be up here and talking with you guys. And I'm going to give a little plug because we have the opportunity. Make sure as you leave today, please don't forget to vote for the cutest baby photo contest. We want to know who Trinity's cutest baby is. And the first vote's going to be free, but as a fundraiser to help our kids go to youth convention, it's going to be $1 for each additional vote. But feel free to throw in that first vote. It's free. And we'd like to know who's the cutest. I have my opinions, you know, who's really cute, but we'll see, and we'll see what Trinity does here. But so I was trying to figure out, and I was talking with God, you know, what do you want us to talk about? What direction do you want us to go? And a couple weeks ago, I was running on the treadmill, and I was talking with him, and no, if you know what happened this week, it was not what happened this week. If you know, you know. Let's just say, while you're running, do not accidentally pull the emergency cord, because something bad will happen, and so it wasn't during this time, so if you know, you know, but a couple weeks ago, I'm running on the treadmill, and I'm at the gym, and I'm just talking to God. It's a great opportunity. He tends to talk to me in the most random places, but I'm running, and I'm like, God, you know, what should we talk about? And then he goes, I want you to talk about this one thing, Jell-O. And I was like, Jell-O? Really? I was like, Jell-O, okay. It's yummy. It's tasty. It's great when you're sick. You know, I love it. It's great. Especially the watermelon flavor is by far my favorite. And so I started thinking about it. I'm like, Jell-O, it's really great for making shapes. And honestly, the best shape that you could possibly make with Jell-O would definitely have to be dinosaurs. You know, having those little, I think they called them gelatin jigglers or something like that. And, you know, you can make dinosaurs with Jell-O. And you get out your cookie cutters and your Jell-O cutters, and honestly, you really don't even need those. But you start with a liquid Jell-O in a bowl, and it takes the shape of whatever you put it in, whether it be a bowl or your cookie sheet. And then you grab your cookie cutters, and you can make your mold. And gel is perfect for making a mold of something, if you want to make a lot of something, a lot of the same thing. And as I was running, or jogging for that matter, or fast walking, however you want to look at it, probably more jogging, but God was talking to me about that idea of a mold. Not the mold that grows on your bread when your bread gets stale and dirty and, you know, wet and all that type of stuff, but a Jell-O mold, so to speak. And how it's time in our lives to start breaking some of the molds that we have in our everyday lives. The mold that we thought we were poured into. The everyday life that we live and that we walk in. And, you know, I find myself more and more, as time goes on and as I get older and in life, I want more. There's just something deep within me that I just want to get everything I possibly can out of life. And I believe most people do as well. And I think that's part of why we come to church, and that's part of why people go into churches, because there's something in them that just wants more. And we want God to do something big in our lives. We seek something greater than the life that we're living. And not that I'm saying there's anything wrong with the lives that we're living. Sometimes they're great. But there's something deep within us that says life can be so much more. You know, the Holy Spirit has a tendency to speak to so many things in our lives, if only we would just listen. And sometimes we get so busy with life, with living it, our families, our kids, our spouses, someday I'll get there, woo, our jobs, and it's so easy to squash out the leading of God in our lives. Sometimes we get so focused on doing things on our own that life just becomes so hard and it's so difficult sometimes. And then all the while, deep within us, we know that there's something missing. Sometimes there's just that still small voice in the back of our minds, just, you know, leading on and saying, you could have so much more. Life could be so much better. But the cool thing along with that is that we have an awesome promise. In Romans 8, verse 26, it says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Helps us in our weakness. How awesome is that? Knowing that we don't have to go through this life alone. We don't have to, when we're facing difficult situations, that when we're weak, that God is strong and that God will help us. You know, this past summer, we had an amazing opportunity to bring our teenagers to National Youth Convention and part of something called AIM, which is Ambassadors and Missions. It's a missions trip. And I can't thank you all enough for helping send our teenagers there. We raised a lot of money. There were 14 of us, 10 teenagers, 4 adults, and we went down in the beginning of August, 100 degrees, 100% humidity. I don't know what we were thinking, but it was an absolutely amazing time, and they had services at night, which just seeing the way that God moved and was speaking to all of us, it was absolutely incredible. So if you ever get the opportunity to go to a general council, is what they call it as well, or a national youth convention, please, by all means, send your teens. You go as well. We'd love to have you. So anyways, this past summer, we went to Orlando, and we did some amazing outreaches. We worked with Convoy of Hope, which, if you don't know, they help people during disaster relief, and we did this big thing in a Hispanic district where we got to pray for them, and our group actually did pictures, and we printed them. We took pictures of their family because these are people from low-income households, and they were able to get all these food and shoes, all types of things for free, and it was a great outreach. But then even before we did that, we had an opportunity to go into a giant mobile home community park, and we spent one day just passing out flyers and saying, hey, come tomorrow. We're going to be at the community center in the hub. We need you to come, and we're going to have a great time. We're going to play games. We're going to have fun, you know, all types of different things. And so we let them know. We spent a whole day going from door to door just handing out flyers. And then the next day, we all met in the morning real early, and we delved out who was going to be doing what. There was different groups. Our group was there, and there was a lot of other different groups that were there as well. And We needed people to run like sport games, fun games, food, singing, dancing, Bible stories, you name it. We had all these different things, and it was so neat to see our kids just being like, oh, I'll do that. I'll go make balloon animals. I have no idea how to do that, but let's go make balloon animals. And it was really neat to see them kind of step up and try something a little new. And as they're delving out assignments, I'm just sitting there, and, you know, I'm exhausted and I'm tired because I had just flown. I had been awake for 36 hours. And if you know me, even if I get 8 hours of sleep, I still don't even function well. I need a lot of sleep. So when I was awake for 36 hours, it just didn't fare too well for me. And thank goodness that I had Bob and Laura and Fred, who were kind of like my right-hand people. And just when my mind was just completely gone because I was so tired, they were there. So I'm just sitting there as they're delving out these assignments, and you know, people are volunteering, and I'm like, oh, that's cool, you know, I'll let everybody else volunteer, and I'll just sit there, and I'm going to kind of call Laura out here and kind of embarrass her a little bit, sorry. And but they get to the part of where we need somebody to run the Bible stories, and I'm thinking, well, you know, I work with children, and I, you know, I do that all the time. We'll just let somebody else do it. I was like, I'm too tired. I don't want to do it. It's a new situation. It's going to be last minute. I'm like, I just don't want to do it. And then Laura's sitting next to me, and she takes my hand, and she's like, Jen will do it. Jen's got it. And I'm like, like I was like, okay. Well, there's not a whole lot that I can do about it now. And I was like, all right, I guess we're doing this. And, you know, at that moment, I had two different choices that I could have made. The first choice could have been I could do it begrudgingly and say, I don't want to be here and doing this. I'm uncomfortable. I don't have any time to really plan this and get this together. And just gone through and done it, but just kind of had like a bad attitude about it. Or on the flip side, the other option I could have had was, all right, God, I need your help. Please help me with this. I'm going to have faith and I'm going to trust that you're going to help me to figure out what it is that we're talking about and what we're doing. And in that instant, I had a choice to make. And I said, God, help me with this. I can't do this right now, but I need your help. And it was so cool. We had like, you know, 20, 30 minutes to get this lesson together, and we're all scurrying around, and we're running outside trying to find sticks and rocks, and we ended up telling the story of David and Goliath, and Fred played Goliath, and he had his balloon sword, and, you know, we had all these different things going on. It was a great time, and we played games with the kids, and we did all these different things. And at the end, we had about 4 kids in our group. We had the older kids, and one of them had already been a follower of Christ. The other 3 had no background of going to church or even really knew who God was, and we gave them an opportunity to accept Christ into their life. And all 3 of those kids accepted Christ that day. And it was such a huge eye-opener to me that in my moment of weakness, in my moment of where I was a little uncomfortable, that God can work miracles, that God can do something huge. I don't know, you know, I probably will never ever see those kids ever again. But that was a turning point in their lives, that they accepted Christ. And it's so cool to me to see that when we get uncomfortable and when we ask God to help us in our weakness, that he'll be able to help us. Thing is, God will do amazing things in our lives and the lives around us when we learn to just let go and listen to the prompting of the Spirit inside of us. When we finally just say, okay, God, do something that I can't. I can't do it. Where we are weak, knowing that God is strong. You know, I love life. I think it is amazing. I love it. I absolutely enjoy getting up every morning and coming in and seeing the teens and the kids and the adults and their faces and everything. I love it. But God has so much more for me personally. He's got so much more for our church. He's got so much more for you. And it's all because he loves us. It's so amazing and truly amazing how much God really does love us. He sent his son, his one and only son, for me, for you. In Romans 5:8 it says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's good to know that I don't have to have all my stuff together in order for God to do something, that I don't have to be perfect, that he's already started working in me, he's already started doing something, that while I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. You know, I've seen this quote a lot recently, and it is so true, and I honestly don't even know who says it. I know Max Lucado uses it a lot, and maybe you've heard it as well, but it goes like this. God loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to let you stay that way. God loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to let you stay that way. If only we could understand how deep God's love is for us, how great, how vast, how much God gave in order that we could have a life and have it to the full.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son and make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory.
How deep the Father's love for us, that his wounds would pay my ransom. I don't think that will ever get old, ever. God loves us more than we could ever imagine. He loves us so much that not only did he send his son so that we could live forever in eternity with him, but he wants us to take full advantage of the life that we're living right now. We can start breaking out of the everyday routine and see something incredible in our lives. I love this. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Immeasurably. I love that word. Meaning it cannot be measured, that he will do more than we could ever ask or ever imagine. But sometimes we get stuck. We get stuck in that mold, that jello mold, so to speak. In the molds that other people put on us, the molds that even Christianity and the church can put on us, the mold that we put ourselves in our own lives. We get so used to being stuck in the way things are that we think that that's all life will ever be. Our minds get started on a track or a train that's hard to get off, and we're just like, well, you know, life is good. And that inkling in the back that says it can be better. But we get stuck in saying, well, you know, I get up, I go to work, I take care of the kids, and I do this, and we do it all over again. We get stuck on that train, and we wonder sometimes in our lives, like, why aren't we seeing change? And most of the times, God has given us the tools to see amazing and incredible things done in our lives and in the lives of those that surround us. But the crazy part, and maybe it's not so crazy, is that we just have to pick up the tools in order to see that change. And sometimes we find ourselves asking, you know, God, why aren't you changing my circumstances? Why am I stuck feeling the way that I am? Why, God, why? When all along, he has given us everything that we need to maybe not change our circumstance, but to help us get through it. And the hardest part sometimes is figuring out how to get off of that train and that train of thought. You know, something that God's been picking at me in my own life and my walk with him is changing how I think. And we were talking in youth a few weeks ago, and I gave them this example because God gave me this clear vision of, you know, imagine like a mountain of ice. And, you know, you see it's like a clear sheet of ice. And when it starts to melt, the water starts to trickle in a specific path. It goes in a specific way. You never see it kind of going left or right. It just goes in that specific path. And in order to make a new path for that water to melt down, you kind of have to chisel away a little bit into a different area, and then all of a sudden it starts making a new path. And the crazy thing is all it took was picking up those tools and hammering away. It didn't take too much, just a little bit of chisel, and all of a sudden there's a new path, and there's a new train of thought, and there's a new way of approaching life and seeing it. Training our brains to think a little differently. You know, I remember having one of many talks with someone that I hold very dear to me that has really just become a mentor in my life. And I'm thinking back to this time of I was really, really sick. I got diagnosed with a stomach disease, and honestly, it almost took my life, and it made me very sick. And I had all tons of different issues that came up, and it was very hard. It was a very difficult time. It was about a year and a half, almost 2 years, where I just went through a dry season, a desert season, where honestly, I didn't even hear the voice of God for almost 2 years. And she would come up to me almost on a daily basis, and she'd be like, "Hey, Jen, how you doing?" And I'd be like, "I'm okay." I would never say, you know, good. I would never say bad. I was just like, I'll just stick with, "I'm okay. You know, I'm doing all right." And one day, she sat me down, and she said, "Jen, if all you ever think and believe is that you're okay, that's all you're ever going to be. Maybe when somebody asks you how you're doing, you say good, because that is what you are striving for, and that is what you are believing for." And honestly, when she first said that, I was actually very angry with her. Because in my own mind, I was like, she doesn't understand what I'm walking through. She doesn't understand the pain that and how difficult it is to get out of bed on a daily basis. She doesn't get that. How dare she say that to me? She doesn't understand. And for a long while, I was just angry. And I didn't take to heart what she had said. And it was probably well over a year later, I was just talking with God in my prayer time and just kind of just battling it out with God. And I'm realizing that I need a change. I need something to change in my life and how I'm approaching it. And it was only one small step, but I started believing that I was good. I may not have felt physically well, but I'm telling you, it was like a switch happened in my life. It was like I made this huge decision, and it changed everything about me. But it was actually just the smallest little thing in how I thought. One of the things that we talk to the youth a lot about is that you're just one decision away from changing your life. One decision. Sometimes we think in order to see God do something huge or something big in our lives, that it has to be this big to-do and thunder and lightning come raining down with angels whizzing by and trumpets blowing and rainbows and unicorns jumping and all that and everything else under the sun, that we think we need these huge things in order for God to do something big in our lives. When all along, sometimes it's just the small things and how we think or how we approach or just letting something go. I look at Jeremiah. He is an absolutely incredible man. What an incredible prophet. And if you look at the beginning of his walk and his journey and how God called him, God said this: "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Before you were even formed, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." God set you, he set me, apart from this world. We are called to be something more than just what the world has set us out to be. You see, the world has set out a pattern or a mold, so to speak, for everyone to follow. And really, it's not so much the world, but it's the devil using the world as a tool to distract us from being all that God has created us to be. And sometimes we can be our own worst enemies. We get stuck doing the same thing day in and day out and just living life. And the devil, you know, he gets pretty angry when he knows he can't get you because you've accepted Christ. He'll definitely put you to the test. You see it time and time again. But the thing is, he's satisfied when we stay in our own little bubble and don't step out in faith and get a little uncomfortable and lean on God for strength in our weakness. God doesn't intend for us to stand still. He wants us to keep moving and to keep growing. Life wasn't meant for us to live it on the sidelines. We have this one chance when we look back with regret or know that we've given it our all and everything that we have. You know, Zig Ziglar said this one time. He said, "You are free to choose, but the choices you make today will determine what you will have, what you will be, and what you will do in the tomorrow of your life." You know, it really is, it's time for us, even in my own life, to just start breaking the molds off of our lives. You know, the neat thing, and one of the other amazing promises that we have, is that it's all a work in progress. But there's going to be a completion to this process. In Philippians, it says, "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." You are God's work in progress. I am God's work in progress. God wants to break the mold of your heart and to guide your path. But because he created you and he created me to have free will, he's not going to force us to become his. That choice is ours and ours alone, and it's yours. And in our choices, it should reflect every decision that we make and every step that we take should reflect who God is. And it's been so neat starting this Bible study with the teenagers. We just had it this past Wednesday. And one of the things we're looking at is bearing God's image. And we talked about it, and it was just like literally everybody in the group that was there had a light bulb moment. And it was how we can reflect God in everything that we do, that we can glorify him when we eat and when we drink. And it was like, oh, like literally you could see the light bulbs going off in our minds and just having that revelation that we can glorify God in everything that we can do. When I'm walking, when I'm eating and drinking and, you know, playing sports and going to school or going to work or, you know, helping, you know, raising children or anything like that, that we can glorify God in everything, just the big things and the little things. You know, it was last week, I don't know if it was Pastor or Missionary Paul Duda, my memory isn't quite what it used to be, but they touched on something last week. And they said, everyone is created for a unique purpose that only they can fill. The people that you come in contact with and have an impact on will be completely different than the person that you're sitting next to. Now, there's certainly going to be some crossover and some overlap, but one of the amazing things is that you are one of a kind. God made you the way that you are. You are uniquely created, and you have purpose. We have a promise that God is always with us, always, to the end of the day. We have worries. I have worries. You have worries. But God has solutions. He has the ability to break molds off of our lives, to break chains, so to speak. We don't have to go to some mega church or bring in some world-renowned speaker or go to this service or that service or to see God do something huge in our lives. It could happen today. It could happen in your time alone with God, in your bedroom, at home, when you're praying with your kids and your family. Sometimes it just takes something small in how we think and how we approach for God to do something huge and for us to break out of those molds that we even put ourselves in. I know for me, I don't want to look back and miss opportunities. Regret is one of the biggest things. We all have them. But take advantage of the opportunities that God places in front of you. Lord, thank you so much that we could be in your house today, Lord. Lord, I just pray that as we leave this place, as we go back to our everyday normal routine and living our lives, Lord, I pray that we just wouldn't go back to the way things used to be, into the mundane and into the molds that we've poured our lives into. God, I just pray that even as we walk out of this place and we spend time with you and we're just doing the everyday normal routine, that we would glorify you in all that we do, that you would speak to us, that our minds and our hearts would be open to what you want to do in our lives. God, I pray that you would direct us. God, I pray that you would break molds, that you'd break chains of things that are keeping us from living the life that you have given us and filling the purpose that you have given us. Lord, we love you and we thank you for all that you're doing in this place. I pray that you bless everyone here. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In your name, amen.